us for our live webcast on making good habits and breaking bad habits. This is your opportunity for Joyce to answer your questions on habits, and right now you can go ahead and begin submitting those questions. Joyce, this is a topic that a lot of people need help with, that because we all have bad habits in our lives. Mm-hmm. We all want to build good habits. But I love the way you're coming at it, because you're not saying focus on that bad habit. You're right. Saying focus on the good.
Yeah, this was really, I thought, a fresh approach. And people are very interested in habits. I've done a teaching series on habits, and it was always very popular. But I do think that just human nature tends to focus on the problem.
Right.
And getting rid of the problem so you can do the right thing. But Scripture really teaches us that there's only one thing that overcomes evil, and that's good. And that if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That, you know, only darkness can only be swallowed up by light. Mm-hmm. And death can only be gotten rid of by life. So I don't know why it's taken us so long to apply that biblical principle to any area in our life that we want to see change. Instead of focusing on what I should not do,
right,
I should focus on what I should do and can do through God's grace. And
yeah.
Then when we're full of good things, there's no room for the bad thing to
right.
function.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really an exciting approach to think about developing all these good habits instead of, oh man, I've got 25 bad habits I need to break.
Yeah. Well, and I think that a lot of people will have some very specific questions and a lot of good questions on how to actually apply this into
right.
our life. But before we get started, we're going to take a look at what a few people have to say about habits, and then Joyce will begin taking your questions.
College. For many, the place where habits are revealed.
The most difficult habit I have is procrastination.
Habits are duplicated.
Habits, my worst habit is probably procrastination.
I'll always wait till the last minute to do stuff.
Habits are redefined.
Procrastination's actually a pretty good habit that I've gotten into. Doing homework at the last minute, I get a lot more done, and I feel like it's a better quality even.
Students say bad habits can be unhealthy.
I like to sleep a lot, and I smoke cigars.
Frustrating.
Biting my nails, I'm really bad with that.
And unique.
I use the word absolutely. Many times they're going to ask me a question, I will say absolutely. Or something I'm doing, absolutely. So I can break that. I tried.
Everyone agrees breaking bad habits and establishing good ones can be difficult, but worth the effort.
Yes, absolutely. There we go. Did you hear me?
Well, I feel like if I got up earlier, I could be more productive with my day. Good habits make you a productive person.
These students at the beginning of their adult lives understand the habits they make and break today will have a lasting effect.
It's habits say a lot about you. The habits that you develop over time, they have to do with things you usually go through and things that, like how you see yourself. So good and bad habits kind of develop a person.
So habits are here to stay, but we have a choice between the good.
I like to be on time.
The bad.
Texting and driving.
And the, unique.
I'm always smiling. I always try to smile. Also, I do everything with passion. Smiling and with passion.
Smiling with passion. That's an interesting habit. Just always smiling
that's
all the time.
That's kind of a nice habit.
Yeah, that's a good one. There are some good ones and some bad ones in
yeah.
there both. But we have some questions, and I've got a couple to start off with that I think you're really going to enjoy, because these questions are really good questions. A lot of people will appreciate them, but they're coming from a couple people special to you, some twin granddaughters.
Oh, Angel and Star.
So these are good questions.
They told me they were going to watch today.
Yes, well, here's the question. How can I stop eating sugar? Now, how many people would love to hear the answer to this question?
Well, I could just say don't put it in your mouth, but I'll try to do a little better than that. You know, the Bible says not to make any provision for your flesh and to put a stop to thinking uh-huh. about it. And so, you know, if I start thinking about dessert very long, I'm sure to end up with it. So
that
if you really don't want to do something, you have to put a stop to thinking about it right away. Another really good thing to keep in mind is if you don't want to eat something, don't keep it in your house. You know, it's like if to keep a cake mix there, you're bound to bake a cake. If
it's hard
you keep
to get,
cookies, So, but if you're going to have to go get a, in a vehicle, go to a store and get it, you're more likely than to find something else to eat. So
set up a few roadblocks.
Yeah, that is a good question, and I'm sure that a lot of people have that. And, you know, one of the things that I want to say up front here is that you can never change a habit if you don't believe you can. So the first thing you have to do is believe this can change in my life. With God's help, this can change. And I even recommend saying it out loud, because most people say, I can't avoid sugar, I can't resist sugar,
or,
you know, I have no discipline. So what we say is also important.
Yeah. Okay. Here is the second granddaughter's question. How can I stop whining?
I love
that question.
Oh, she's so sweet. She can't possibly be a whiner. You know, whining can become a habit.
Yeah.
And it develops from focusing on the negative, from focusing on what we don't have instead of focusing on what we do have. And I think it's a very good exercise, as children are adults, and it would be great to teach a child to do this, every morning to actually either make a list on paper or a verbal list of, these are 10 things that I can think of right now that are blessings in my life, and I'm grateful for them.
Yeah.
A lot of times the way that we get the day started is the way it goes. And so I just encourage her to be really thankful. She can be thankful she's got such a great grandmother. And, yeah, that's the first thing to be thankful for. Hi, girls. I know you're watching. Have a good day.
Oh, those are good questions, though. A lot of people, you know, are dealing with those habits.
Right.
Once you start to get the, in that habit of seeing the negative things and kind of complaining about them, it's a habit for a lot of us.
And that's really the thesis of this whole thing
is
we're going to focus on the good
right,
and not the bad.
Well, this is an interesting question that goes along with that. And this is Cassandra, and she's asking, what happens if one bad habit links to more bad habits? So how do you kind of stop that cascading trend?
Well, like, for example, procrastinating could be a habit that would lead to a lot of other bad habits, or not making decisions, being indecisive, which is one of the behavior patterns we talk about. I mean, if you don't know how to make decisions, it can cause all kinds of problems in your life. So obviously, you want to stop the first habit and focus on the thing that's, you know, causing the problem. We can't expect to make bad choices and have good results. So, for example, we talk about the God habit in here. Well, I can tell you, if I did not have what I call my God time daily, for me, I need it daily, and I need it early, you know. And I remember telling my children when they first started complaining many, many years ago, when I would go into my room early in the morning and start spending time with God. And I was just getting a revelation on this, and they would whine for me to come and see whining. They'd whine and for me to come and, well, aren't you going to come and make our breakfast? And then, do you have to go in that room every morning? I said, listen, you better thank God I'm in this room, because you're going to have a much better day if I go in this room. So if, for example, like if I don't pay attention to my God habit, spending time with God, then I'm going to have all kinds of problems all day. But if I do that one thing first that I know that the Holy Spirit's leading me to do, then that solves the rest of it. So,
yeah, it's interesting because we've encouraged people to join what we're calling the Make One, Break One Challenge. Yeah. And so a lot of people have been doing that and getting encouragement along the way as they take this journey. And one of the main ones that people are focusing on is the God habit, which is very exciting.
That's
they
very
want that relationship
to
grow.
Yeah, that's, and it is. Christianity is about having a relationship with God through Christ. It's not about being frustrated all day trying to keep rules and regulations.
Right.
It's not about just a trip to church on Sunday and, you know, a 5-minute prayer every day. Those are all parts of things that we do, but it's mainly about relationship. And God just wants time with us. The Bible says that He's a jealous God.
Yeah.
And that can sound a little odd, but He's actually, He loves us so much that He's jealous of having time with us. He wants us to seek Him, and He wants us to want Him. And a lot of people that have a question about this God habit, I think they don't know what to do when they spend their God time. It's like, well, what do I do, you know? And I honestly don't think, yes, what we do is important, but I don't think it's nearly as important as the fact that we go to God and want time with Him, and then He'll lead us in what to do.
Yeah, He helps fill that.
Right, time. He does.
Okay, let's hit another question. This is from Wanda, and she says, I'm very excited about this particular book. My question is that I have so many bad habits that are fueled by emotion. Where do I start, dealing with the habit or with the emotion?
Okay, well, I think that the first thing that everybody has to start with is the God habit. And I don't want to just focus on this one thing all day, but you're probably going to hear me say it a lot. Because there's no hope of changing any other habit if we don't have the God habit. Mm-hmm. And one of the habits is a habit of stable emotions, and so she should start there. If the emotions, you know, I did encourage people in the book, if you're just getting started, to start with something small maybe, so you get a success. So that might be a good thing for her mm-hmm. to first take a couple of simple things and focus on those, see that she's going to get a good result, then go after that major one,
right?
Which is the emotional habit. And I think you have to understand emotions in order to be able to form a habit of stability. I was actually just thinking this morning how much peace I have in my life now and how stable I am when problems come up compared to the way I was 15 years ago. And it's not an overnight thing. I think that anybody in 30 days can get a good start. But when you talk about something like emotions, that's something that a person could even have to do some digging back to, well, why am I so emotionally out of control? Where is this coming from? There are other people, that's just their personality. They're more sanguine, emotional type people, and it may be something that they'll have to learn to deal with on a regular basis throughout mm-hmm. their life.
Mm-hmm. Here's a very practical question. This comes from Indianapolis, and it says, I'm having a rough time quitting smoking, mm-hmm. and I'm reading about temptation in the Bible, but what else can you offer to help me in this habit?
Well, since I used to smoke and had a very hard time breaking that habit, I can deal with that. One of the things that I started doing, and it's going to sound strange to somebody who doesn't know the principle of confessing the Word of God out loud, but your words have power. And so often when people have a bad habit, they talk about that bad habit like, well, my bad habit, and I could never stop doing this. And for years and years, I said, not realizing what I was doing, I could never stop smoking because I know if I did, I would want to eat all the time and I would gain a lot of weight. So I literally had more or less dug my own grave and jumped in it. So every time I tried to quit, I had already set myself up for failure.
Right.
So one of the things I started doing was I started confessing out loud, I don't like to smoke. I've quit smoking. It's an expensive habit. People smell the smoke on me. I don't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. And within 2 weeks, I had started a journey, taken a step of faith to actually quit. Now, I'm not going to say that it was not difficult. It was. But in 30 days, it was pretty much all but over. The first week for me was more difficult. And then even when I would have a rough day or something bad would happen, I remember being at a picnic one time in the middle of this quitting thing, and Dave and I got into an argument, and I left the picnic and ran home to try to find some cigarettes to smoke, like that was really going to solve my problem. And I remember I found some, but then I made the decision to throw them in the trash can, and that was like a big breaking point for me.
Yeah.
And so
triggers.
Yeah. When it comes to something that has a physical hold on you, drugs, alcohol, smoking, sugar, caffeine, mm-hmm. something like that, I'm not going to tell you that there's going to be no discomfort for you, because I think that would be foolish for me to say that. But I will say that it's not going to last forever. It gets easier every single day. And the big thing is not to think about the pain you have right now, but think about the freedom that you're going to have in a short period of time.
Yeah. Keep that encouraging thing in mind. All right. Question from Omaha, Nebraska. I really need help with my habit of always being late. I give myself plenty of time, but then I still end up being late, and it's impacting my employment.
Well, most people who have difficulty being late are people who either don't plan well, but she's saying that she does, mm-hmm. so we won't go at it from that angle. But probably what she's doing is she's trying to do too much of what she wants to do instead of doing what she should do first, like... My daughter the twins' mother had a problem with this for a lot of years, and she would put off getting ready to the end because she likes everything in her house neat when she leaves. Mm-hmm. And so she would get all caught up in all these things that really should not have been priority for her at that time. And then when it got down to, I have to get ready, then she'd be in a big rush, right, and end up being late. Now, in her situation, she really needed a revelation of God's grace in her life because she was depending on herself to change this instead, mm-hmm, of depending on God. And that's a premise that we have to have throughout all of this. And I said that when I talked about the God habit. And the reason why the God habit is so important is you go to God first and you ask Him to give you the grace to do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. I don't suggest that anybody watching today just try to break a habit or try to make a habit. Trying is not the answer. Believing is what determines our living. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is believe God and always ask God to help you with everything that you try to do.
That's good. That's good. Question from Mercedes. She asks, how do I overcome the habit of being passive?
Well, that's an interesting one. Because when you're passive, you just plain don't want to do anything. Interestingly enough, and this may encourage her, my husband Dave had a stronghold of passivity in his life when we first got married. And it was a tough thing for him to get rid of.
Well, because he certainly overcome that.
Well, he certainly did. But when you're passive, what happens is you've been inactive for a long period of time, or you've practiced not making decisions to the point where the enemy actually, the enemy being the devil, gets involved in oppressing our will. Mm-hmm. So you just don't want to. I mean, you just absolutely don't want to do anything. Everything about you has become passive. So the first habit Dave had to farm was the God habit. And he started getting up in the morning really early before he went to work to spend time with God. And invariably, he would fall asleep. It was hard for him. He'd have to get up and walk around. You know, sometimes we do have to fight the good fight. There's nothing saying that everything is going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I'm kind of a rambunctious fighter type person anyway, so, you know, that's not as challenging for me. But for a passive person, they'd rather lay by the pool like the crippled man in John 5 for 38 years waiting for a miracle to float by than they would to get up and do what they know that they need to do. So you start by spending that time with God, praying, asking God to help you, and then take baby steps of no matter how you feel, just get up and do what you know you need to do. It may feel like you are dragging yourself through quicksand initially. But here again, keep in mind, it gets easier every day.
Well, you said something really important, and that's not basing what you do on your feelings.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big part of it, and that goes back to that emotional habit as well, the God habit. So many of these things really do tie together.
Well, and so many people live by how they feel, and probably we all do more than we realize that we do. But people constantly tell me how they feel.
Yeah.
I feel like nobody loves me. I feel. You know, or I'll ask people maybe when I'm out at one of my conferences and they've been there on Thursday night, Friday morning, and maybe I'll see them out. Oh, are you coming tonight? Well, I'm going to see how I feel. Well, you know what? You're not going to come then. You can't wait and see how you're going to feel. You have to make a decision.
Right, right. Jacob is asking an interesting question. He wants to know, what is the difference between a habit and an addiction? And how does that apply to this?
Well, a habit out of control can become an addiction. That's why it's very important to get a handle on these things. When you realize that something is getting out of balance in your life, that's when you need to come against it. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be well balanced, for your adversary the devil roams about like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking whom he may devour. I love that scripture. It was one of the first scriptures that God taught me many years ago. And the truth is when we're out of balance, that's an open door for the enemy. Because the devil loves extremes. Anything that's extreme. I read one time that an extreme is the enemy's playground. And so if you notice that something is starting to get out of balance in your life, you're starting to get up in the morning and turn the television on right away, and you're you know, sitting in front of it way too many hours. Not saying that it's wrong to watch television, but you don't want to spend your whole day doing that. Mm-hmm. Or you're going out and shopping more and more and spending more and more money that you know down deep in your heart that you shouldn't spend. It's very important to get things in the beginning. Resist the devil at his onset, the Bible says in 1 Peter. And so if we'll do that, then those things won't become addictions, because when something has become an addiction, it is more difficult to get rid of. Not impossible. We can do it, but it is going to be a little more difficult.
Yeah. All right. This is a question from Louisiana. I love my wife dearly. However, there are times when drawn to anger, she knows how to get under my skin. That's very true. Before I know it, I've lashed out and called her a name that hurts her very badly, and I don't want to do that. So how can I help? It sounds almost like just a gut response, something that he said before he even realized it.
Well, it's going to require learning how to control his emotions and his mouth. And, you know, I always think of examples from my own life, and I hope people don't get tired of those, but I always say I don't have to tell made-up stories like Jesus did. I've got enough of my own. I never run out of stuff for my own life. But when I was trying to learn how to not talk back to Dave, trying to learn how to be a submissive wife, you know, he would be maybe saying something I didn't like or something I didn't agree with, and I would feel the Holy Spirit in my spirit just giving me that little nudge. I just, don't say anything. Don't say anything. And honestly, sometimes I would have to just excuse myself and get out of the room because I could feel the anger coming up. And it would actually be better for him to get away from the situation, get control of himself, and then come back and try to deal with it in a decent way, because they're kind of playing off of each other. You know, and probably neither one of them even realize what's going on. It's just become something that the enemy's gotten a stronghold in. And so she knows what gets under his skin, he thinks. She may not really know at all. It may just be a habit she has. Then he has a habit of playing back into it. And probably after the explosion, they both go, what happened? That's what happened with me. I'd like, how did we get into this big argument? We were just trying to talk about some simple thing. You know, the good news is, and I think this is a good place to stop and say this, is the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I'm a teacher. He's the teacher. And he guides us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will show us how to do every one of the things that we need to do in our life if we'll have the God habit and go first to him and depend on him for the answers that we need. You know, I can give a list of, well, this is what I did, and that might not work for somebody else, but God will show them what to do. And it's very important to me that people participating in this webcast today turn it off with full of hope that whatever the habit is that they have in their life, that it can be changed by making a good habit, that nothing is impossible with God, that God will give them the ability. They have to believe, because if you don't believe, nothing is going to change. And in this situation, like this man's talking about with his wife, God will give him what I like to call a red light on the inside of him, a little warning bell that lets him know, you're going in that direction again. Been there, done that. Let's don't go around that mountain again. And then it's up to him. And we always have a part in all this. It's up to him if he's going to then give his will to God and do what he knows God's wanting him to do, or just continue to be emotional and blurt out something he's going to be sorry for.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to keep going here. We want to get through as many of these questions as we can. This question comes from Milwaukee and says, how do you get rid of the habit of being a people pleaser? Maybe we should identify what a people pleaser is first.
Well, a people pleaser is someone who will always try to keep people happy. Not that that in itself is a bad thing, but if we keep people happy at the cost of disobeying God, are losing our own life and identity, then that becomes a real problem. And the root of that habit is insecurity. If we don't know who we are in Christ, then it's going to be way, way, way too important for us, to us, what people think of us.
Right.
So in order to get them to think well of us, we're going to do anything that we think they want us to do. It can also be rooted in rejection. If somebody has experienced the pain of rejection in their life, they may spend more time in relationships trying to avoid rejection than they even do trying to build a good relationship. Rejection can be very, very painful. Our abandonment can be very, very painful. And so insecurity, rejection, abandonment, those can all be root problems or underlying problems that cause people then to care too much about what people think. And when we care too much about what they think, then we're likely to do whatever we think they want us to do to keep their friendship.
Right. And so therefore becoming a people pleaser, which would on the surface sound like a good thing, becomes a dangerous habit for us because we're not doing what's best for us or for that other person. Yeah. We're just trying to please.
Well, that's a very good point. You're not even doing what's good for the other person because you're letting them manipulate you and control you. And that's not good for them. I will say, if somebody's in a relationship where they've already been doing this for a long time, it may take quite an explosion to undo it. Because when you've allowed somebody to do that for a long period of time, that is not easy for them either when you suddenly change.
Right.
But, you know, a good thing to learn is to that just to say no when you need to say no and to realize that if somebody is really your friend, then they're going to want you to follow your heart. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want you to follow your heart, but they only want you to do what they want you to do, then they're not a true friend. They're a manipulator and a controller. And that is absolutely not a good thing for anybody.
Yeah. Okay. This question is coming from South Carolina. How can I stop myself from swearing? It feels like it's just instantly falling out of my mouth. And sometimes when people have that habit, maybe even from years back, it's very difficult to stop that pattern.
Yeah. You know, it's no different, though, than any other verbal habit like whining or complaining or self-pity or anything else. And here again, I know I'm going to sound like I'm going right back to the same thing again, but it's why it's the first habit in the book, is you need to spend time with God about this particular thing, asking God to help you. And then the other thing I would recommend is when you do make a mistake, don't go into a guilt pattern. Because guilt is a treadmill that wears you out, that just leads you right back into more and more sin. And so let's just say that somebody's trying to break the habit of swearing. All right, so maybe they go 2 hours and they're fine, and then they swear. Well, instead of saying, oh, I'm never going to change, this is never going to change, I'm always going to be this way, I would recommend that they say, God, I thank you that I've prayed about this and that you're helping me and that I'm going to see complete victory. And although I just made a mistake, I know that I'm forgiven because of the blood of Christ, and I receive that forgiveness now, and I go on. Stay focused on the good thing, and don't let the enemy draw you back into that trap of I'm never going to change.
Yeah. Well, this goes along with that quite well, and it's, I'm sure, a question that many people are asking. But it says, I have an addiction to alcohol, and I know it's at the point where it can kill me. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than just a bad habit. How do I pray and get past this horrible addiction? And I would call it an obsession, is what she says.
Well, here again, she may need to get to the root of the problem of why she started drinking to begin with. Is there some kind of pain in her life from brokenness, from brokenheartedness, from abuse, and she's really just trying to drown out her pain? She may need some professional help, but one of the things that I can offer from a very simplistic standpoint is every time that you feel like that you want to run to the alcohol, instead run to Jesus and literally get on your knees and say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And I don't care if she has to stand there and say, help me for 30 minutes. That will pass. Now, there's a physical addiction to alcohol, and there's going to be withdrawals and things to go through. So that's why I'm saying she may need some professional help. But here again, please don't think that you can never be free, because I'm sure that there are people watching who think, you know, I've had this problem for so long, there's no way that I'm ever going to be free from this. Well, you're self-defeating before you ever get started. You must believe that with God, all things are possible. And God loves me, He wants to help me, and I believe that with His help, I can do this. Be realistic with yourself. It's probably, she's not going to get over alcoholism in 2 days. I mean, this is going to be something that's going to take a real commitment. Mm-hmm. But she's been being committed to destroying her life. Why not get really committed to saving her life and let God get on her side and really help her?
But just having that knowledge, that there is nothing that we cannot overcome with Christ in our life gives such freedom that we don't have to give up and that we're not doing this alone, that it is possible.
And I've heard too many testimonies of people delivered from eating disorders and alcoholism and overeating and rage and, you know, just all kinds of things. I mean, there's stories of deliverance all over the place. Yeah. And God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for the other. And, you know, I like to tell people, we really back off when we think about discomfort or pain. Like, everybody wants some kind of an easy answer that's going to be, can you wave your magic wand over me and, you know, this can just be gone. And I tell people, you're hurting anyway with your addiction. It's making you miserable. I mean, like this woman, I can just feel that she's tormented.
Yeah, there's pain in that question.
And that's not God's will for her life. He loves her, and he has a good plan for her, and he doesn't want her to live like that. And she's hurting anyway, so why not just turn the corner today and say, okay, God, I'm going to put my hand in yours. You show me what to do. If that's get professional help, I'm going to get it. If it's pray more, I'm going to do it. Whatever it's going to take, I'm going to do that. If I need to get some counseling, I'm going to do that, and I'm don't even plan on it being easy. I think a lot of times, you know, you say, well, isn't it kind of negative to plan on it being hard? You don't really have to plan on it being hard or easy. Just say, I can do whatever I need to do through Christ who strengthens me. We all hope it's easy, but if it's not, I can do it anyway. Right. Because God's going to equip me to do whatever I need to do. And the other thing is even when you're breaking a habit by making a good habit, and it is hard, you can even trust God in that God's leading you that way for a purpose. Dave and I quit smoking within the same few month period of time. Dave basically said, I'm going to smoke until God takes the desire away. The next day he got up and never had a desire to smoke and never smoked after that.
Wow.
On the other hand, I had to go through some stuff. And that was
Did you ask why?
Well, it was a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
It was like, why does Dave get everything so easy? But you know what? And I didn't understand for a few years, but I do know why. Because I'm called to minister to people who are going through things. And God wants me to know how they feel. And he wants them to know that I know how they feel. Because that gives us a great connection.
Yeah.
It gives us an empathy together. Here's somebody who really understands me.
Yeah. Well, it does make a difference, and God can do it any way he wants, but he does know what we need.
That's exactly.
And
he knows what he
needs.
He knows what he wants to use us for later.
Yeah. Okay. Any scriptures or advice on breaking the habit of failing and being afraid of success?
Well, first of all, if you're alive, if you're breathing, you're not dead, then you're not a failure. You may have failed at some things, but you're not a failure. So we need not take failure as an identity.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, instead of being afraid of success, I think people are really more afraid that they can't handle the success, which I guess is saying the same thing. But I think that they think the more successful they are, the more people that are going to be watching them. And so if they have this inbred fear of failing, are being imperfect, then so they're still really, the fear of success is still a fear of failure because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to handle the success or maintain the success or, you know, look good in front of more people. And the whole failure thing, I love what John Maxwell says, you can fail forward. He actually wrote a whole book on that. And it's so true, you can learn from your mistakes. Everything that you do that doesn't turn out good, you can learn, at least, I'm not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even as far as people trying to find out what God's will is for their life or what the call is on their life, many people never find out because they're waiting for some 100% surefire answer from God. And what we need to do many times is just step out, try something. Oh, well, that's not it. That doesn't fit. That didn't work. Try something else. I always teasingly say I was so passionate about wanting to serve God that I would just do anything that came up at our church that anybody needed a volunteer for. And one of the things I tried was working in the nursery, and it only took me and the kids about 2 weeks to know that wasn't my call. So I didn't have to feel like a failure. I just realized, you know what, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, too, people feel like they're a failure because they're not like somebody else. And we don't have to be like anybody else. Mm-hmm. So failure is something that's in your mind. If you just refuse to give up, anybody can succeed at something if they just flat refuse to give up, if they keep putting one foot in front of the other and say, that didn't work out, but I'm going to find the thing that does.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked a lot about breaking bad habits, and you've mentioned the importance of filling our lives with the good things, that squeezing out those opportunities for bad habits. So let's talk some more about some of those good habits. How do I make the habit of submitting to authority?
Well, I think that the thing that really helped me was to realize how important that is to God. And it's actually not, it's not up for a vote. It's like a person who won't submit to authority is rebellious.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound really tough, but the Bible says that rebellion is like witchcraft. So it's a very wicked thing. We don't want to be rebellious. Many people have been hurt by somebody in authority, and they've even made pacts with themselves and promises and vows to themselves that nobody's ever going to push me around again. That's what I did, because my dad abused me mm-hmm. and was so mean. I mean, I must have said thousands of times in my heart, when I get out of here, nobody's going to tell me what to do. When I get out of this house, nobody's going to push me around. Mm-hmm. Well, then it became very difficult for me to submit to authority, because I had to break that promise that I had to myself that nobody was going to do that.
And authority had not been a good thing in your life.
Authority had not been a good thing in my life. And I read a book on authority by a writer named Watchman Nee, who is a wonderful Chinese Christian that's gone home to be with the Lord. But the Bible talks about, in Romans 13, the importance of submitting even to civil authority. You know, little things like speed limits and stop signs and not parking in a handicapped parking space. You know, when you have that spirit of rebellion in your life, it's going to show up all over the place. And so it is a very important thing. And, you know, you're on your way to success when you admit that you have a problem and you stop making excuses for that problem. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I had so many personality issues that I needed to overcome from being abused. And I kept blaming my bad behavior on the abuse. And I remember when I learned that although being abused was the reason I was the way I was, I could not use it as an excuse to stay that way. That was a big breakthrough for me. And so it's, you know, it's going to take some study and realizing. I think for me, when I realized how I was damaging my own life by not submitting to authority and how it hurt the heart of God when I didn't submit to authority, even though that authority is not always right. And that was a big issue for me, because when God was dealing with me about this, I was under some authority that wasn't treating me all that great. And I knew they weren't right. But the thing is if we do what's right, even when somebody else isn't doing what's right, that then opens the door for God to be able to bless us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so many of us deal with different types of that same issue. I mean, I can just be that kind of person where if you tell me to do it, I don't want to do it, just because it's like when a pastor says, turn to your neighbor and say such and such. Sometimes I feel like I don't want to turn to my neighbor and say such and such just because you told me to. And that's just, you know, God dealing with all of that.
Well, I don't like
so
that
insignificant.
Even though I tell people to do it in my meetings, I don't like it.
Well, you'll know when I don't say it. You're still working with that.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you create a positive habit of trusting in God?
Well, I think it's one step at a time. And, you know, the thing that finally put me over the edge, or over the top, I guess, with trusting, was I finally just made a decision. And I know a lot of people think you can't make a decision to trust God, but you can, because it is your decision to make. I'm either going to trust God or I'm going to trust myself, and I've already seen what I do.
Yeah, what are the options?
I always end up falling apart somewhere along the line, and I already saw what my life was like from trusting me, or I'm going to put all my trust in people, which, you know, nothing against people, but they usually disappoint you too in some way, shape, or form. I mean, even great people mm-hmm. end up disappointing us because they're not perfect. I don't think that you want to put your trust in the world system today, because we know that's kind of coming unglued. And so God is the best option. It's like, you know, we don't have any other option but God.
Looking at it logically.
Yeah. And so I just finally, logical was the way, you should see the way people look at me when I say, well, why don't you just get logical about it and realize that God is your best choice. I think sometimes we get these problems blown out of proportion in our mind, like, well, how can I trust God? And, you know, what if this happens? And, you know, I don't understand all the pain in the world. And you know what? I even sat this morning and I thought, you know, God, there are so many sick people. And we see horrible things in third world countries, children hungry. And, you know, I don't understand all that. But it's not my job to figure it out. God's asking us to trust Him. And the more we trust Him, the more answers that we see come into our lives. And I don't think that God is ever going to give us everything that we ask Him for. And thank God He doesn't, because if we're asking amiss, then we don't want God to give it to us. But that doesn't mean you can't trust God. You know, there's a difference in trusting God for something and trusting God through something. And so when we commit to trust, it's a total commitment to trust God all the way through. All I can say is I highly recommend trust, because for me, I came to the point where I'm either going to trust God or I'm just going to go stark raving mad, because I got so tired of trying to figure things out and trying to take care of myself and worrying about stuff all the time. It just finally wore me out. And I think sometimes, to be honest, and I hope people understand this, you have to come to the end of yourself before you can find your true beginning in God.
Okay, this question comes from Texas. How do I overcome the habit of coming to the rescue of my older children? It's an interesting question.
Well, I've had a tendency to be a little bit of a rescuer too. And it is challenging. I think maybe because nobody rescued me when I was little. I always want to, and not just my kids. I mean, I'll just be happy to rescue anybody. I have to be very careful along those lines. And I think following the leadership of the Holy Spirit is our only answer. You know, I know a couple of people pretty close to them, and they're just such great parents. And, you know, they will do things with their children sometimes. I mean, even their grown children, like they'll have a need and they won't meet the need. And I'm like, I want to go meet the need. You know, it's like, well, how can you do that?
Yeah.
But they look beyond the moment to the long-term result of continuing to rescue that person over and over and over. Really what we do when we rescue people over and over is we disable them. Or we enable them to keep their problem.
Right.
You know, you can, like my mother enabled my father's abuse by not confronting him. And that ended up being a huge problem in her own life. So we can disable people from learning how to help themselves or enable them to keep their own problem by always being their rescuer. And you know something that somebody said one time that really hit me is, you know what, you're not the Savior. And we're not. You know, Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah, we're trying to take the wrong role there and hurting everybody in the process.
Yeah, and many times we get in the way of what He wants to do in somebody's life. Now, I love to help my kids, plan to help my kids. I hope this lady continues to help her kids. But we just need to have the balance of saying, God, I want to commit this to You and really learn how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I want to go back to the submission thing for a minute, because there's something that just keeps being stuck in me that I feel like I need to make sure that I say. In no way, shape, or form are we telling anybody that they need to submit to an authority that's abusing them. You know, because I know that there's all kinds of domestic abuse and sexual abuse and even spiritual abuse, and we're not telling anybody that they need to be abused. You're worth more than that.
Right.
So there are things to stand up to and not put up with. But when it comes to biblical lines of authority, you know, then we need to submit to those.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Joyce, this comes from Honduras. Joyce, I want to know how I can stop watching over my ex-boyfriend's life. Keep checking Twitter, Facebook, etc. It's so much easier now to kind of just be involved in someone's life in a way that we shouldn't be. But she basically has an addiction of an old relationship. So how does she break that off?
Okay, well, we'd have to go into a teaching on what soul ties are in order to be able to handle this. But, you know, we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. So you spend 5 years with somebody, and your mind is on them. Your emotions are all tied up in them. You're making a lot of your decisions based on what they want. So now your soul is connected to their soul. All right. You can know that you need to walk away from a relationship, that it's poison for you, or the other person can walk away and you want to be free from it too. She has to realize that these things that she's feeling is their soul ties. She's tied to that person in her soul. So stop thinking about them. Stop talking about them. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you're not going to be able to stay away from it. Mm-hmm. If she's around somebody that would know something about that person and the temptation comes to ask a question about them, just say, God, help me, help me, help me not to ask. I don't want to keep being involved with that person. I even had soul ties to a church that I went to at one point. I worked there. I was involved on the staff. And when God put me out in my own ministry, I just kept thinking about it. And I would actually go to church there on Sundays and I'd leave feeling depressed and I didn't know what in the world was wrong with me. And a man told me, he said, you got soul ties to the place. Mm. And so we just need to realize that even though we're doing what we know is right, and I think this is maybe a good way to tell people, you can know that getting away from something is right, but you may even need to pray for God to help you break those soul ties and to realize that the more you think about it, the more you talk about it. Go back, look at old photographs, you know, read old letters. The more you do that kind of stuff, all you do.
Looking on Facebook all the time, you know, following on Twitter. Yeah,
you can get something stirred up in your soul, and then you just keep going around and around that mountain.
Yeah. Unfollow. There's a good answer. Unfollow on Twitter, and then you won't see it. You've been talking about the good habits that crowd out the bad habits. So just as we close, some of your habits are so positive that we can encourage people to get involved in. The habit of being healthy, the habit of faith, the habit of being responsible, generous, adding value to others, the habit of discipline, the habit of positive thinking. Mm-hmm. As we are focusing on these things, as God is building these things in our life, it really does change our perspective, which changes those other habits.
Can I have that for a minute?
It is all yours.
Thank you. Well, the largest amount of questions that came in were about the God habit, which is very exciting to me. The second largest number was about being healthy. And we haven't actually had a chance to talk about that. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that do have questions about health and eating. And, you know, there's just so much sickness today and so many people struggle with their weight. And I do think it's because we try to fight with those bad habits when we really need to just focus on forming a good habit. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who wants to be healthy, like if we tell people, if you want to be a strong Christian, you need to read your Bible. Okay. So for anybody who really wants to be healthy, I really recommend that you get one good book on nutrition and health. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got one, but there's many, many others out there that are available. And it's so important to be educated. It's amazing what happens when we educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we need to read. I mean, nobody is going to say, well, I want to be a doctor and just go hang out a shingle. They're going to study good doctoring skills. And so if you want to be healthy, you have to know what that even means. A lot of people don't even know what they're putting in their mouth. They don't know how to read labels. Here's one simple example. Every hotel room that I go in, for some odd reason, they want to leave you candy on your pillow at night. I mean, the last thing you need at night is candy, but yeah. You've always got caramels or chocolate or something on your pillow. Well, you know, that's not an issue for me at all now. I just take it and put it somewhere else. I'm not going to take it with me. Or, you know, I was somewhere the other day and they handed me chocolate when I left. I said, you know, you might as well just keep that because I won't eat it. And you know what stopped me? One time there was a box of caramels in my room and I turned the box over and looked to see what was in it. It was almost all sugar, 100 calories in that little tiny thing. And I thought, you know what? That's not worth it to me. So it is amazing if we'll just be educated. Mm-hmm. To realize that, well, you might prefer to eat a nice apple that's got the same amount of calories in it as one large mint. But if you don't know that, then you're going to just keep doing wrong. Or even to study the value of exercise. You know, we talk about exercise. Everybody, I hate to exercise. I don't have time to exercise. But the value of exercise is amazing for your skin, for your energy, for your health, you know, for you to look 20 years younger than you do when you get older. So I think that that's really, really important. But then also, as you know, you gave me these earlier, and I actually got a little bit aggravated as I went through some of these, because there were less than 75 people who said they wanted to work on the habit of generosity. And being generous is one of the most important things that we can possibly be, because it opens up so many wonderful doors for us in the spiritual realm. And generosity, yes, is about what you do with your money, but it's about a whole lifestyle of generosity,
right,
of being big-hearted and generous with your compliments and generous in every way. And then the other one that was the second lowest was the habit of adding value to other people. And I hate to see these kind of statistics come in, because I don't want people to be selfish and self-centered. I believe that if you concentrate on building some of these good habits, that it's going to shove the bad ones out of your life.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest problems that I had in my life, Ginger, was I was just flat out selfish. Just selfish. Everything was about me. And it's amazing, as I let God work with me on that, how many other problems in my life that solved. And so the good news is for you just to really realize that there's no problem that is impossible for God to solve. Please believe me. I had enough of them, and I know there's no problem that God cannot solve. If you're terribly addicted to some kind of drug or alcohol, or if you bite your fingernails, whatever it is and anything in between, God will help you. Don't just try to change. Go to God for help. Let Him know that you know you can't do it without His help. And I don't care if you have to ask for help 1,000 times a day, do it. That's still probably my most frequently prayed prayer, is God, help me. And I think a close second now is thank you, Lord. We need to also make sure that we are grateful for what God is doing in our lives. Because when we are, then that widely opens the door for Him to do other things. Remember, after 30 days, you're going to be well on your way to forming a good habit. Take them one at a time. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel if you have a bad day. And always remember, if you just will not give up, God certainly is never going to give up on you.
Yeah. Well, Joyce, nicely done.
Well, thank you.
I'm always amazed. You have no idea what these questions are, and you just do a great job.
That's
and
because I say before I come in here, God, help me.
Yeah. And thank you. A lot of great questions, and we really appreciate your joining us today for this webcast. We pray that everything that you've heard and received today will draw you closer to the Lord and help you kick some of those nasty habits while building the good ones at the same time. So God bless you. Thanks.